Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Heather. And of course, the word Hosanna means save now. And what an appropriate song for this time of the year as we think about July the 4th and the birth of our country. We sing and we believe God bless America, but maybe what we need to say is God save America. And God will save America by saving our families. It's the backbone of our society. We're in a series called Family Business. And we're asking, how's business? And today we're going to talk about a subject that many people don't associate with family, but they should. And that is family fun. All right? And so if you'll look there in your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's study. It's in Psalms 128, and if you're able to stand, I'm going to ask you to do so as we honor the reading of God's Word. Psalm 128 is one of the songs of ascents, that as they would go up for the feast, they would sing this song as they went up to Jerusalem. A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. How joyful are those who fear the Lord. All who follow His ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessings for those who fear Him. May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren. May Israel have peace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help us today to be serious about a fun subject. That God, that we would understand that you want your people to be full of joy and gladness and happiness in such a way that it will bring honor and glory to you and bless our homes. Speak to us now, God, through your word. We'll make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to begin by contrasting two people that lived during the same time. I want to contrast the Pharisees with Jesus. Let's think about the Pharisees for a moment. Pharisees were Bible-reading, church-going, moral, religious people. But they were so focused on their rules and their regulations, they were so rigid and so strict, they had no joy in their lives whatsoever. I want you to contrast that with Jesus Christ. Was Jesus a Bible-reading, Bible-believing person? He was. Was he a church-going guy? He was in the synagogue every time it was open. Was he a moral, a religious, a righteous man? He was. But Jesus was full of joy and he was full of gladness. So people were drawn to him. They flocked to Jesus. The Bible says that the common man heard him gladly. Now here's my question to you. Which home would you rather grow up in? Would you rather grow up in the home of a Pharisee or would you rather grow up in the home of a Jesus? I know a lot of people that get so serious about the things of God that they have no joy whatsoever. And they are so strict in every aspect of their life that they smother their family and the family can't wait to get away from home so that they can have some joy in their life. I believe God wants us to have fun. And I'm going to show that to you today from Scripture. Well, as I got to thinking about that, I asked my kids, you know, sometimes you can learn a lot from children if you'll listen. And I said, what were some of the fun things we did when you were small? Now, we always had family vacations, and we took our kids to Disney World. We took them to SeaWorld, those kind of places. But, you know, neither one of my kids mentioned those big places. You know what they remembered? They remembered the little things. Like when we had to go to the mall to shop for clothes. And me and the boys, we'd play hide and seek up under the racks. We'd play tag and chase. Oh, it drives my wife crazy. Y'all need to behave in here. Well, guess what? It made something. It was a drudgery fun. One of my boys said, Dad, he said, you know, almost every day after school, we'd go to Dairy Queen and get an ice cream. And when our kids were small, listen, we had boys. Boys like dirt. They didn't like taking a bath at all. So we had to make taking a bath fun. And we got into a thing when they get in there and when they get out, I'd take a towel and I'd wrap it around them and I'd start swinging them, okay? And I'd have to swing them all the way to the bedroom and I'd swing them up in the air and they'd fall on the bed and they'd say, do it again. And we'd do it till you bust your arms about to fall off. And I did it till they got so big I could no longer swing them and put them up on the bed. They remembered the small things. And what I'm trying to say is you don't have to go to Disney World to have fun. You can have fun every day. I remember one time it snowed. And I got this wild idea that we were going to go get the long tractor out of the building and hook up the sled. And we went up and down the road in the snow, dragging the sled with a lawnmower. I imagine the neighbor said, that kook is at it again. And when the kids got older, we had a couple of four-wheelers. Now, they never wanted to ride them when the sun was shining. They always wanted to go riding after it had rained. And they wanted to get in every mud hole they could find. And we'd come back and there'd be so much mud on them and me and the four-wheelers. You'd have to strip off your clothes in the garage. You couldn't go inside. And I'd have to pressure wash all the mud off of it. But they absolutely loved it. And I got to tell you something. I hated the mud. I hated the mud. But you know what I loved? I loved them having fun. Today we're going to talk about family fun. And I ran across a definition here of family. Don't take time to write it down. It's too long. But I liked it. I want to share it with you. It says, a family is the first institution ordained of God. He created a family to satisfy the deepest longings of our heart, to give us a means to receive and to give love, to propagate the human race, and to provide a secure environment to nurture our children. You understand that before God ever instituted the church, He instituted the family. Before there was ever the institution of government, there was the institution of the family. Before there was ever the institution of commerce and economy, God created the institution of family. Family is God's idea. And we're going to look at right now in Psalm 128 a picture of an ideal family. There are five parts that he mentions here. Number one is a godly husband. Notice there it says that joyful to whoever fears the Lord. So it begins with the man. It begins with one who fears God, and he is a godly man. And next there is a faithful wife. Notice she is flourishes, and she is fruitful. And then the third part is happy children. They are vigorous. Don't you love vigorous children? Oh, he said, well, they're happy. I mean, they're hyper. They're just happy. Okay? But notice next that they're blessed by God. Verse 5 says, the Lord continually bless you. Don't you want to have a family that has the continual favor of God upon it? And then the last one is it blesses the next generation. You will be able to enjoy your grandchildren, it says. I'm afraid we live in a society today that the ideal family has become an ordeal and that many people are looking for a new deal. And a lot of that could be prevented just by having some family fun. Well, let's look at that. Notice here that God wants our families to be filled with fun. Psalm 126 and verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. So let me ask you about your home. Let me ask you about your family. Is it filled with laughter? It says in this verse that God filled their mouths with laughter and with singing to the point that the heathen, those that don't know God, will look at your life and say, wow, God has really blessed you. Do you have that kind of joy? Do you have that kind of gladness in your home, in your family, that even the pagans want what you have? Do you have a contagious kind of faith? Are people drawn to the joy and the gladness in your home? In Genesis 21:6, it says, and Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. Now, what had been Sarah's circumstances? She'd been in a hard place. She'd been in a difficult place. And God showed up and God worked in her life. God did such a miracle that it made Sarah laugh. And all who heard about it laughed. You know what my prayer is for some of you? My prayer for some of you is that God would make you laugh. Yeah. There's nothing holy about being a sour sack. Okay? He made Sarah laugh. And then the next thing I want to share with you, and I'm going to come back to this at the end, God is a happy person. The prophet Zephaniah in chapter 3, verse 17 says, for the Lord your God is living among you. Time out. Is he living among you? What does that look like? He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all of your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. When you picture God, how do you picture Him? Do you see God as this stern person who's walking around with a big stick waiting for somebody to mess up so he can knock you in the head? Well, that's how many people picture God. But notice here, the prophet, what does he say about God? Says that he delights over you. He rejoices over you. He sings over you. Can you picture God doing that? Can you picture God sitting on his throne, singing over you, delighting in you? God is a happy God. He's not a killjoy, fun-sucking supreme being. He is Abba, Father. He is a happy Father. And He delights in His children. And next, I want you to see that Jesus came to give us abundant life. In John 10:10, Jesus speaking said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The word there, abundantly, is an interesting word. It is zelios. And it really means to boil over, to bubble up. Jesus said, the kind of life that I've come to give you is the kind of life that bubbles up on the inside and overflows. Do you have the overflow kind of life? Do you have the bubble over kind of life? If I were going to interview your children, if I were going to interview your family, would they say that's the kind of life you have? Well, that's the kind of life Jesus came to give us. The writer of Hebrews describes Jesus by quoting Psalm 45:7. Notice here what it says. You love justice and hate evil. God's a holy God. But notice here. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you. Who's he talking about? Jesus. Pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else. Pouring out the oil of joy. Psalm 45:7 says you've been anointed with the oil of gladness more than anyone else. What is Jesus' name? We often say the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you understand Christ is not his last name. You didn't have Jesus Christ and Mary Christ and Joseph Christ. Christ was not his last name. Christ was his title. And Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. And it means the anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one. How was Jesus anointed? He was anointed with the oil of gladness. More so than anyone who has ever lived. You understand that Jesus had more joy. He had more gladness. He had more happiness. He had more excitement in his life than anybody who's ever lived. Now, how many of you picture Jesus that way? How many of us we got him with this all seriousness all the time? He's full of joy. People were attracted to him. Now let me ask you something. Are you a Christian? Christian means like Christ. So if Christ is anointed with the oil of gladness and you're like him, then you ought to have the anointing of the oil of gladness in your own life. There ought to be a smile on your face. There ought to be a song in your heart. There ought to be a spring in your step if you have the oil of gladness upon your life. Jesus came to give the abundant life. Now, I want to balance what I'm saying at this point with the truth that there is a time and a place to laugh. Everything's not fun and joy. Everything's not grin and giggles. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. Verse 4, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. You understand there's a season when you ought to be laughing. There's a season when you ought to be dancing. And I know that's un-Baptist to be talking about dancing. But what that means is you ought to have happy feet. You ought to have a happy heart, but it ought to be so much that you get happy feet, okay? But notice there's a time to mourn, there's a time to dance, there's a time to weep, there's a time to laugh. This past Thursday in room number 7 at 3:16 in the afternoon, little River Andrew Bean came into the world. Can I tell you, it was a happy, happy, happy time for our family. We're so happy, we're so excited, we're going back and forth from the waiting room, back there to the room. And we were there till late that night. And about 10 o'clock that night, I had my suit on. I had my clergy badge on. My daughter-in-law said, "Preacher, why didn't you wear some comfortable clothes?" I said, "What are you talking about? These are tailor-made. They're as comfortable as they get." But one of the nurses came and said, "Pastor, would you mind going to room number 1? There's a young woman there that's lost her baby. And she is so upset. Could you go talk to her and pray with her?" Well, see, I'm so happy and I'm so excited. And families ought to be fun, right? So what am I going to do? I'm just going to bebop down the room with that. Ha-ha! Just laugh and be happy. No, that wouldn't be appropriate. See, there's a time to laugh and there's a time to weep. But you don't go around with a sad sack face all the time. There's a season of laughter and there's a season of mourning. You gotta keep it all in balance. In Jesus' sermon on the plain in Luke 6:21, it says, "Blessed are you who weep now, for for you will laugh. The truth of the matter is some of you are in a hard place right now. There's things going on in your life. You've just got the word from the doctor. You've got the C word, the cancer. You're having difficulty on your job. You're having difficty with your teenagers. Teenagers, you're having difficulty with your parents. I mean, you're in a place where it's hard right now. And preacher, you're talking about fun. You're talking about having fun and laughter and gladness. We don't have any of that right now. I want you to know what Jesus said. You are weeping now, but you will laugh. God's got a word for you. It might be hard today, but it's only a season, and God's going to bring joy and laughter into your life. Why is that? God is a happy God. So what's the benefit of having family fun? I'm going to give you three of them. Number one, family fun refreshes. In verse 2, you will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Notice he starts off by talking about the fruit of labor. Any of you labor? Any of you have work? You have a hard job? But notice he's talking about joy in the midst of that. You see, there is labor in life. There is hardship in life. But what do? You bring laughter and joy and gladness into it, and it refreshes your mind, your soul, your body. Executive Digest Magazine cites medical research. It says that when you laugh, it has an instantaneous, profound, positive impact on all of your organs. So when you're laughing, guess what? It's good for your liver. It's good for your lungs. It's good for your heart. Now, here's what really impressed me. Forced laughter. That is when you make somebody laugh and they don't want to laugh, it actually produces positive emotions. That when you're forced to laugh, it will replace bad negative emotions. I told you my daughter-in-law was in labor. Real labor. And we were back there. We was able to be back there for a while. And she looked up at me and she said, tell me something funny, preacher. Tell me a joke. Well, it kind of caught me off guard because, generally, you don't go to the hospital in labor to tell jokes. So I said, what was a good one? And so I told her a good one. She laughed. She said, keep them coming. And why was that? You see, if she was thinking about the story, if she's thinking about the joke, and she's laughing, she's not thinking about what? The labor. You see, laughter and fun refreshes us, mind, body, and soul. I'm afraid we get so caught up in life that we miss the laughter. In this same Song of Ascent, Psalm 127 says, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to His loved ones. If you're not careful, you'll get caught up in this rat race of life, and you'll miss the fun stuff. You'll miss the joy. You'll miss the gladness. A young preacher came to a small town. It was a mill town. It was a cotton mill there, and while he was there, he heard about the owner of the mill. And he said, well, I'm going to go see him. I mean, this guy owned the mill, and he owned most of the houses, most of the town. He said, I'm going to go see him and invite him to church. So he went to see the owner. He said, I'd like to invite you to come to see what God's doing at the church. This man looked at this preacher, and he said, I've never been to that church. You'll never see me at that church until I die. You'll see me at your funeral, my funeral. He said, when I came to America as a young immigrant, I was told that America was a land full of rainbows, and at the end of the rainbow was a pot of gold. He said, I own the mill, I own the town, I own about everything out here. He said, I found the pot of gold, but I've lost my rainbow. You know what that fellow was saying? He had pursued the dream. He had been successful. He had acquired great wealth, but in the process, he lost the zest of life. He'd lost the spark of life. He had lost the joy. He'd lost the gladness. Well, laughter refreshes our life. In Jeremiah 31:25, it says, "I refresh tired bodies. I'll restore tired souls." We got any tired bodies here this morning? I bet you we do. Already, a couple of you already raised your hand. Does that mean you have it, or does that mean you're volunteering? Okay? All right, so he says, "I give rest and refreshing to tired bodies and to tired souls." I wonder how many folks is just not tired in their bodies, but they're tired in their souls. It's run here, run there, run here, run there, run here, run there. Laughter, fun, refreshes a family. During World War II, the Germans conducted an experiment. I don't think they should have done it, but they did it anyway. And that is, they went to one of the orphanages and they took 100 children. They put 50 in one group, 50 in another group. In one group, they were well-fed, they were clothed, they had all the physical necessities. But they had no human contact, they had no love and no affection. In the other group, they had all of the physical necessities of life. They were well-fed, clothed, and taken care of. But they were surrounded with people who loved on them and hugged on them and showed them kindness. A year later, they tested the two groups, and the group that had the love and had the joy in it, they were taller, they were healthier, they were stronger, and they weighed more. What was the difference? The difference was the love and the joy that they had in the orphanage. Now, folks, if it had that kind of effect on orphans in an orphanage, in a war, imagine the impact it can have on your home and your family if you just allow God to have some fun in your family. And so it refreshes. And then secondly, family fun repairs. In verse 2, "When you eat the labor of your hands, you'll be happy, and it shall be well with you." You work hard. After you work hard, wouldn't you like for things to be well with you? After you work hard and you come home, wouldn't you like things to be happy, have a happy home, have a happy family? Well, how that happens is with laughter and gladness. Proverbs 15, verse 13 says, "A glad heart makes a happy face." Let me see how many happy faces I see. "A broken heart crushes the spirit. A wise person is hungry for knowledge, while the fool feeds on trash. For the despondent, every day brings trouble. For the happy heart, life is a continual feast." Now, which one of those you want? You want a day of trouble, or do you want a continual feast? You're Baptists, right? Baptists like to eat, right? They're all for the feast, right? Have you ever gone down to the beach where they have one of those 120-item seafood buffets? And you go down there and they have prime rib and lobster and crab legs. They got all of that. I mean, just aisle after aisle after aisle. And you can just go down there and you can eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and just have a feast. Well, the Bible says that if you have family fun, if you have laughter and gladness in your home, that it's a continual feast. So you want to have a feast, you want to have a famine. It repairs a home. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Any of you take medicine? Do you take good medicine or bad medicine? Does that medicine make you better? You know, some of that stuff you take just makes you feel bad. Makes every joint hurt, makes your body hurt. Well, the Bible says laughter, merry heart, gladness, joy is good medicine. And so I did a little research. You know what the three best-selling prescription drugs in America are? The number one is a prescription for ulcers, digestive problems. Number two was a nerve pill for anxiety and depression. And the third best-selling pill in America is a heart pill. I said, isn't that a symptom of where America is today? We have ulcers, our nerves are shot, and our hearts are bad. And a good medicine for all three of those is some family fun. So what you got planned that's fun? It can change a situation just like that. Had a preacher friend and him and his four children riding down the road. They're on a family outing. Why are they going on this outing? Have some fun. They're going down the road, and this is back when cars were just getting, you know, fancy and had air conditioning in them. I remember cars that had 245 air conditioning. You roll down two windows to go 45 miles an hour. This had air conditioning in it, and they're going down the road, and the window in the back is rolled down, and the oldest boy, his name's David, he's got the window rolled down, and his dad said, David, roll up the window. So he raises the window, and they're going down the road, and the air conditioner's running good, and it's kind of cool, and all of a sudden he hears this whoosh. David's done lowered the window again. He said, David, raise the window. He raised the window back up. The third time, they're going down the road, and he's lowered the window down. And his preacher dad says to him, he says, David, if you lower that window one more time, I'm going to pull this car over, and we're going to have some serious trouble in this car. Everything got quiet. There was a heavy cloud over the whole car and the family. And they're going down the road, and the preacher's thinking, well, we're supposed to be going to have fun. Everybody's now got their lip ball poked out. He said, I looked over there, and I saw the controls to my window, so I reached over, slid my hand over there, and put mine on the window where David was, and I let the window down. And said, the window started creeping down, and said, my wife turned around and said, David, what are you doing? And everybody else knew that it wasn't David, and they all did what you did. They all busted out laughing. They had this great big laugh. And he said, and after that, we went on and we had a wonderful family outing. What had changed it? Just one moment of laughter, one moment of fun can repair a home. And then number three, family fun remains. It refreshes, it repairs, and it remains. That is, it blesses the next generation. In verse 4, this is the Lord's blessings for those who fear Him. May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren, and may Israel have peace. You want God to continue to bless your home? You want to enjoy your home and your family? You want to enjoy your grandchildren? The Bible says you need to have some fun. It is so easy to miss it. I read a story in Outreach Magazine this past week. It just blew me away. It was an experiment by a German philosopher by the name of Joseph Pfeiffer. They got a group of people to come in and watch a video. The video has six people in it passing a basketball. Three of them have on black shirts. Three of them have on white shirts. And the assignment is count the number of times the people in the white shirts pass the basketball to the other people in the white shirts. And you're to keep up with it. Well, halfway during the video on the basketball court, a gorilla comes on to the basketball court. Comes to the middle, pounds his chest, roars, and just kind of sautés off. The amazing thing is, over half of the people who watched the video, when they were asked about the gorilla, said, what gorilla? I never saw a gorilla. Do what? How do you miss the gorilla? They were so focused on counting the people with the white shirts and how many passes they made, they didn't even see or pay attention to the gorilla in the room. Well, folks, there's a gorilla in the room today. Let me tell you what that gorilla is. It's called fun. God wants to have some interruptions in your life to bring some gladness, some excitement, some happiness in your life. But if you're not careful, you're going to be so focused on other things, you'll miss the joy that God wants you to have in your life. Psalm 78 says, "We will tell the next generation about the Lord's power and His great deeds and the wonderful things He has done, so the next generation might learn them and in turn tell their children." What's the difference between God's great deeds and His wonderful things? I believe the great things are the miracles of God, but I believe the wonderful things are the glad things that God does in your life. You see, we focus on the miracles, and I praise God for miracles, but God wants some joy in our life, and God wants to pass that joy on to the next generation. John 15:11 says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." Jesus, the Anointed One, who's anointed with the oil of gladness, He wants His joy to be in you, and He wants His joy in you to be full. I told you I was going to take you back, so flip back in your outline to Part D. I'm going to close by telling you a story. This is what God taught me this past week. It's a blessing. I hope it'll bless you. Part D, God is a happy person, Zephaniah 3:17. "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all of your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." On Father's Day, we celebrated as a family and had a cookout. After the cookout was over with, where my son lives, there's a community lake or pond that you can fish at if you live there. And the plan was all going to go out there and go fishing. Well, I had bought my little grandson a fishing pole and a tackle box, a minnow bucket, and I had the minnows and the worms. And we went out there, and he's all pumped up and excited about that. But at 3 and a half, you know how long their attention span is? It was 94 degrees. It was hot. It's 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, after a while, he lost interest in fishing. But his daddy had caught a fish or two. We walked over to the other side of the lake because I said, "It's over there. It's in the shade." And I took Isaac's little old fishing pole and I threw it out there. And he said, "I want to go home and play with my toys." Well, you see his house. He said, "Paul, let's go home." So I picked him up and I put him on my shoulders. And we were walking around the lake. His mom and dad, they still fishing. And we're walking down there and I put him up on there. And some of you get this. I'm carrying him on my shoulders. It's a 35-pound child, 94-degree weather. And he says, "Paul, sing." This is the guy can't even clap. "You want me to sing?" And I said, "Isaac, you sing. Sing Paul a song." He said, "No, Paul, I want you to sing." I said, "Well, Isaac, why don't you sing Jesus Loves Me for Paul?" He said, "No, Paul, you sing. I want you to sing." So what do? It's 94 degrees, sweat just pouring off of me. I can't sing. I started singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." And I sang all of it I knew. And when I got through, he said, "Sing another one, Paul." And I'm thinking, gosh, I don't know any songs. The words are on the screen. And so, This is the day, came to mind. So I'm carrying him. I'm holding on to him. We're just walking around the pond. And I said, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're bouncing around. I will rejoice in what? Be glad in it. And so we're singing that. We get through. And he said, sing another one, Paul. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know three songs. But I remember the little children's song that we used to sing when I worked in children's church, and it's like, He has made me glad. And so we're singing, He has made me glad, He has made me glad. I will rejoice because He has made me glad. And we get around to the other side, to where we're going. I was worn out. But this past week, I was studying for this message, and I came across this passage here where God sings over His children. And the Holy Spirit brought an image in my mind. I was back over there on that road at that lake, but I wasn't carrying Isaac. I was being carried by Abba Father. And God gave me a picture that I'm on God's shoulders and my Father is carrying me. And as He's carrying me, my Father is singing, You have made me glad. And I'm telling you, I just had to come apart that the God of heaven sings over His children. He is a happy, joyful, glad God. And He wants to anoint you with the oil of gladness in your life. And when we have that in our life and we have that in our families, not only is our family drawn to us, but a lost and dying world will look and see how God has blessed you and they will want what you have. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. Do you have the abundant life? Jesus said, I've come that you might have it and have it more abundantly. You say, oh, preacher, I've been baptized. I'm a church member. That's not what I asked. Do you have the abundant life? Has God filled up your life till it bubbles up and it runs over? Not are you religious, but you have the joy and the gladness that has been given by the happiest person who's ever lived. I'm wondering who'd get up out of their seat and come to this altar and say, God, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be a happy, happy person. The people are attracted to the gladness of God. Might be that you're here today and you have a heavy heart. And you come to this altar and you say, God, I need you to pick me up. God, I need you to carry me on your shoulders. God, I need to hear you singing over my life. I'm wondering who'd come to this altar today and say, God, I want to be anointed with the oil of gladness. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have a time of invitation and commitment, may the Spirit of the living God move upon our hearts and upon our lives. Anoint us, God, with the oil of gladness. Fill our cups till they overflow. Lead us now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You would stand as we sing. We invite you to come.